And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, devotional diamond of the day, that which becomes bold in scripture as I'm doing my devotions and I think, man, I need to learn how to do this. The title, Counting on Us. Counting on Us. Plus, we'll do our common sense commentary. We're almost at the end. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. The professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider, is going to join us live. And today's Facebook post, The Feeling Thinking Sinking.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise, any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. Buckle up, little campers, here we go. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Obama is commuting the prison sentence of Bradley, now known as Chelsea Manning, the former Army intelligence analyst who leaked classified documents.
The White House says Manning is one of 209 inmates receiving a shorter sentence from the outgoing president. At the time of Manning's 2010 arrest for leaking classified government and military documents to WikiLeaks, the Obama White House was outraged, citing a threat to national security. But now, with President Obama's action, Manning's 35-year sentence will expire in mid-May. The president also is pardoning 64 people. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The flurry of confirmation hearings for cabinet nominees continued today with Congressman Ryan Zinke of Montana up for Interior Secretary and Betsy DeVos for Education Secretary. Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander says Betsy DeVos is on our children's side.
She's devoted her life to helping mainly low-income children have better choices of schools. Most of the criticism I've heard of her amounts to three things. One, she supports public charter schools. Two, she supports giving lower-income parents more choices of schools for their children. And three, she's used her considerable wealth and effectiveness to advance those ideas.
Strong opposition by Democrats was voiced at the hearing by Washington Senator Patty Murray. A family member says the widow of the Orlando nightclub shooter is a victim herself and innocent of charges of helping her husband in the months leading up to the June massacre. Noor Salman's uncle Al Salman says he believes his niece when she says she knew nothing about her husband's plan to shoot up an Orlando nightclub, killing 49 people.
When she said, I'm innocent, we know she's innocent. When she said, I have no idea what that crazy guy doing, we know that.
Noor Salman said little at her hearing in Oakland, California today. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 59 points, the NASDAQ dropped 35, the S&P lower by 7. This is SRN News.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie. Let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at ExcaliburRoofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn.
Golly, Uncle Bob. If you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. I'm gonna tell you how to sing it
out. Come on, let me show you what it's all about. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I don't really like to talk too much about the schooling that I go through, even though I just did that biblical exegesis class, the biblical hermeneutics. And I'm in another class though, called Spiritual Formation, talks about the forming of your spiritual life. You do a history on, you know, it's been 39 years, it'll be 4 years in October. You do a history of, you know, how you grew up in the faith. And so I get to read other people's histories because they're from all over the country and all over the world. And there's probably about 50 or 60 people in the class. And it's amazing because all of these stories about, you know, growing up in a church and growing up and going through the, like, different elements. And you can see the people's church lives being a big part of their formation, how they came to some of the conclusions, how they came to their worldviews, and so on and so forth. Then you look at my story, it looks like I'm writing a comic book for the Green Lantern. It's so completely different. It's not that it's better by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, mine seems much goofier when you compare it to those. But it's like theirs is like reading a book, and mine is like reading, you know, like the Fantastic Four go to planet Zurok. It's like, well, okay. What are you supposed to do, right? You just write what happens. So I can tell why the Lord, you know, he uses different people in different ways at different times. And if you're somebody who's, you know, thinking, well, can God use me? Yes. Let's just go with that right now. Yes. But it's amazing to see the stories, some of the church history and some of the leaders that are coming in our world. It's very rich history. Whereas, you know, I came in kicking and screaming and dragging. We're all in that same place now. But it's kind of an interesting element to watch the different routes that people get to Christ by. It's so fascinating to me. It's the journey of all of it. Because some people are raised in a Christian home, and they'll have parents that have communicated that. Some people be kind of mildly Christian, you know, or, you know, like some people be very devotional, and the child could be like rebellious and then come back. Or, you know, even Billy Graham had that with Frank, was a little, you know, rebellious for a while. And you have these kind of things take place. What's most fascinating to me is that every one of these stories is God's story more than anything else. So that's what I decided when I wrote my paper. First thing I thought, this is not my testimony, this is God's. Because it's like, I'm lucky I survived it. Are you kidding? He wrote it. I'm glad I'm still in it. Anyway, all right, let's get to, I don't even know, what are we doing? We're doing a count. Are we doing Counting on Us? Okay. You know I know what I'm doing, right? Sure. All right, what do we got for a sound for Counting on Us?
One flower. two flowers. Three flowers. Four flowers. Five flowers.
The five flowers. That's pretty good.
Six flowers.
All right, that's enough. All right.
Seven.
I bet he goes all the way up to 10, doesn't he?
No, actually goes to 100.
Okay, I'm glad you stopped it there then. The title of this DDD is called Counting on Us. You know, for those that don't understand what the fun is, that was the Count Dracula. Was it Count Dracula from Sesame Street, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the Count. Get it? And this is called Counting on Us. See those connections? Yeah, they don't make sense. Yeah, they don't make any sense to us either, but they're fun. Here you go. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 15. A little different spin on a story you know well. For it is just like a man, Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. And he promptly went on his journey. Get that? All right. It's about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Lord. People try and make a distinction. Not so much. The kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the gospel, it's all leaning towards the same element. And I was blessed to know that something that I wrote 35 years ago is something that other people have written in the same amount of time. And that is, the kingdom of God is where God is king. You can come up with all your fancy statements in the world, but the kingdom of God is where God is king. There are many places now where God is king, in places and people, and there are many places in the future where God will be reigning king over all in the future. There's a now and later in the kingdom of God, a little bit like the candy, now and later. So this story that Jesus is talking about is a story or a picture about the kingdom of God. It's a story, folks. It's not an exact representation. It's just something that you and I can get our hands around, our minds around, so we can understand the kingdom of God. Ready? You don't have to write anything yet. Now you got to write stuff. Jesus says the kingdom is like a man who's going on a journey, and he calls his servants and entrusts them with his possessions. So in the story, the man is like a picture of God. Because this is Jesus. Remember, he's going on a journey. And then he's coming back, right? The servants are a picture of us. Okay, got it. And the whole gig to the story is that the servants are entrusted with talents. So you can understand the word entrusted in the Greek. It means trustily assigned. In other words, it's you ever watch those movies and they pull some guy in and they go like into the president's office and he goes, I've got a special mission for you that you need to take care of for me so you can accomplish this. It will save the country. You know, that kind of thing. Well, those are special trusted assignments, and that's what this word means. It's that same kind of assignment. You've got a very specific and trusted assignment to take care of. So we get this picture of God giving these talents and then giving this order to with this entrustment of these talents to use them in a correct fashion. So for those that want to know about the word talent, some people will say, oh, well, that could be gifts, a person's gifting or whatever. It could be. But the word talent there in the Greek has to do with wages, and it's 20 years of wages is a talent. So if you think of a talent, think of it this way. If you think $50,000 is, you know, decent amount of money that for a person, that's 1 year's wage, then 10 years of that wage would be $500,000, or $1 million would be 20 years. Well, that one talent is worth $1 million. So the one guy got $5 million. And then the other guy got $2 million, and then the other guy got $1 million. Now, this is way back then, so if you can appreciate how much they're really getting, you get like, wow, this is like big, right? This is like these huge gifts that are deposited. That's right. And typically what you would really understand the talents to mean is riches. And so in your life, God has poured out these talents, these riches. He's entrusted you specifically. He's counting on you. So he entrusts you and he entrusts me with his riches, which are of numerical value, enormous. The whole point in this, I'm not going to get into the rest of the story because I want to focus on this part right here. And that is God trusts us with his riches. Do you want to know what the greatest riches is that he gave you? The story of redemption. The story of redemption has no dollar value. It's greater than any dollar value. So even this guy who got $5 million, that talent in that story is not like the gospel. The gospel is worth more. What can a man pay for his soul? There's no price there. And yet God gave you and I this story and entrusts his gospel, the greatest message ever, into our hands. I can tell you right now, he wouldn't have entrusted you and I if he didn't think us had that we had some capability. And in fellowship and communion with him, we can do the things we need to do to bring forth the riches that God has placed in our lives. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God trusts you and entrusts you with the greatest values, greatest riches ever. He's confident in you. Now, he does chide the one servant who does nothing, so that's the chide right there. Don't do nothing with the riches of God. Do something. Even the littlest thing is better than burying it. Right? All right. Think of it in those terms. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Forgiveness and bitterness. Without the first, you will limp through life with the second. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Misunderstanding can breed deep-seated bitterness, which doesn't easily go away. Forgiveness must occur if you ever hope to be free of your painful past. That doesn't mean you agree with what happened. It doesn't necessarily mean you now have a close relationship with your offender. But it does mean you let it go forever. And yes, to forgive does mean you ultimately need to forget. Bitterness deposits dangerous germs in our memory banks. You must forgive, and then you must let it go.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. The rolling hills of Galilee are filled with wildflowers, including anemones, gladiola, iris, narcissus, lilies, and poppies. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus referred to them as the lilies of the field, collectively. The people Jesus spoke to likely had little clothing, so he told them to observe how the flowers grow. They grow easily, freely, gorgeously. They flourish with little effort. And they don't make fancy thread to adorn themselves, but they have a design, texture, color, and beauty that God has given them. But despite their beauty, flowers don't last long. They're alive today and tomorrow burned up. Jesus' point was this: if God lavishes such beauty on a flower that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe and care for you, one of his own children who will live forever?
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Everything that glitters is not gold. Everybody.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Nice shout out by Pastor Sean, by the way. That's very nice of him to do that. I appreciate that. I do want people to know, if you want to, you're welcome to go to the Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience, make a comment, send some kind of note, you know, something. If you want to deposit gold, I would do that at various places that need money for ministries throughout the San Diego County. Start there. That's a good place to go. And if you want to be praying for all the Christians, I figured out a way to pray for Christians in San Diego County where it doesn't take, you know, a really long time. I came up with this new, I don't know if it's a formula. You ready for this? It's, Lord, for all the believers in San Diego County, encourage them. So I got that at 5 seconds. I think it's worth it.
It's nice and easy.
Well, it's not complex. I mean, the Lord knows I'm not going to name each person because I don't know each person. But I want to pray for the family. I mean, I think that's a good idea. It doesn't take long.
Thanks for including me in your prayers, Dave.
You are in my prayers on an everyday basis, my friend.
Thank you.
That is a fact. Let's see. We've got our common sense commentary. We only got two left. And then we're going to have to pick something else. And so I'm thinking, you know, we did Galatians, and we just kind of did that. The next one I'm thinking maybe we should do is something more of a historical book. You know, more like either a Genesis or a 1 Samuel or a Judges. I love stuff like that. So I get into it a lot, but there's a lot of reading with that. So we're going to start praying about that. Please, if you're in the audience and you do listen to the show, we know there's at least, you know, one of you, because my wife has to listen. We want to make sure that we do the right thing. So I'm going to start praying about that now. I'm ask Todd to start praying about that. Just ask the audience to start praying about it so we can know what the next big step is. We appreciate that very much. Let's get into our common sense commentary with our common sense song.
Oh Lord, I don't deserve the riches of your word, but you changed my filthy rags to linen white as snow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. That I can tell as of yet. Here we go. Here's Paul. We've gone all the way through, and we're now at verse 11. See what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. They only do this to avoid persecution for the cross of Christ. For the circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But as for me, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So as a young man who became a Christian, was really into Galatians and the New Testament, it seemed to me like the cross was one of the coolest things around, because it is this place where my sins were buried and where the Lord Jesus took upon himself the burdens of my sinfulness. And then I came across a group of people, and most of you will know what I'm talking about, and they're like, oh, the cross is terrible. It's an object of death, and it's an object of crucifixion. It's the worst thing, and people that wear crosses aren't really even Christians. And I'm just going down and down and down the list. And if you're a young Christian, you might first think, well, that's something I really got to consider. You got to think about it. But because I had started my Christian journey in Galatians, I brought this passage up. Because I thought, well, I'm reading the book, I might as well ask about it. So here's what Paul says. But as for me, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. See, the point of the cross is multifaceted. One, not the least of which, is that your sins were laid upon Jesus Christ on the cross. That symbol is the picture of a loving sacrifice, willful sacrifice, self-decision sacrifice to redeem us. And whatever it is that the world has made bad, or whatever it is that the world ever takes and tries to make bad, does not necessitate that God would not try and take it and change it in a different direction, much like Saul in the very beginning was the persecutor of the church until God got a hold of him and then he became a builder of the church. The cross is wonderful if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, because at the cross, your connection to the world has been judicially severed. Because with Jesus, you died at that cross. So the world doesn't hold you in financial debt or a, let me rephrase it, doesn't hold you by obligation. If you visit the world and become worldly, it's a decision you make. You owe the world nothing because your old life is crucified. And your new man, if you're walking in your new man, owes the world no connection. That cross that people, I know that they don't quite understand it, but that cross, that place that we find the grace poured on us, the mercy poured on us, the kindness poured on us, and the severance from the world, from our flesh, and from the enemy is one of the greatest symbols of all humanity. And what will happen, in case you're wondering, is as the LGBT community has hijacked the rainbow, which was simply a promise of God, okay? It's amazing that that's the symbol that they hijacked. Somebody's going to try and hijack the cross, much like the Ku Klux Klan tried to do some of that, trying to make the cross, you know, something that it's not, because the cross is this place where you, as the old man, come to die, you, as the born-again man, come alive, and that's all through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and it's by that cross and by the blood that was shed on that cross, cross that you have forgiveness of sins. The blood that dripped down on that wood is what cleansed you of your sin. There is nothing more precious than that. We want to be friends with God, but before we could be friends with God, we had to stop being enemies with God. Well, through the cross, we stop being enemies with God. Through the resurrection, we get to be friends with God, but you can't get to the friend part without the resurrection. You can't get to the friend part without the cross part. Got to die to live, man. That's just the bottom line. And how important that is, that in those days, they're trying to make circumcision the big sign, where the big sign that the Lord was trying to bring to people was the cross. The end of old you, the beginning of new you, all wrapped up in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ that gives you the opportunity to enjoy this fantastic relationship with God, where the blood-stained cross is your ticket in. Into his presence, into heaven. It's there. That's where it is. And so Paul's like, you know, all that other stuff, bleh. I rejoice in the cross. And then you got people out there going, oh, the cross is terrible. It's like, it's terrible if you're not a Christian because you don't get it. Remember, the gospel is foolishness to them that are perishing. But to us, it's the message of life. There's people that will never accept anything that has to do with Jesus Christ ever. They ain't going to make it. There is a class that I took in college a long time ago where they were like, well, there's only the saved and the not yet saved. It's like, no, there's the saved, not yet saved, and the never will be saved. And that's a reality. And Jesus made that absolutely clear. That ain't going to change. All right, we're going to take our break. And then we're going to come back because we have our very good friend, the legend, coming on the phone in just a little bit. I don't want you to go anywhere. It's always a good time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
There, all done with the roof.
You call that a roof? You need to call Eric at Excalibur Roofing to get the job done right. Excalibur Roofing, they know how to do a roof right.
What's this?
It's a cell phone.
What's a cell phone?
Never mind. Just dial these numbers, 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. And ask Eric at Excalibur Roofing to help you with your roof. His work is good. He even gives free estimates.
What's an estimate?
He also has a website on the internet, ExcalibarRoofing.com.
What's an internet?
Are you done loading the animals into the ark?
Not yet. By the way, why am I doing this again?
How long can you tread water?
Right.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared the importance of Christians standing up for truth in the culture.
I am not going to walk away from controversy when fundamental truth is at stake. I love truth, and I love freedom more than I love the idea of a hollow peace. And that's what it is. When you avoid controversy just to try to keep the peace, it's not really peace. What you're doing is you're just trying, you're fooling yourself. And that's what's happened in our country. We have to be bold. Men and women who have given they're all to defend these rights that we have. The least we can do is exercise those rights.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Deanna had lived on the streets and had been in Ukraine, born there, and by the age of 10, she left her birth mother and chose the streets over the life she had had with her birth mom.
That's Tara, when her family adopted their daughter, Deanna, from Ukraine.
There had been so much brokenness in her life. We had no understanding of the depth of that brokenness within her.
Deanna had been physically abused and rejected, and that made parenting Deanna very difficult for Tara and her husband. But God has brought about healing in their relationships.
God would begin to open up these conversations, and they were painful because we had both hurt each other in the midst of things. And just the grace we had for each other to forgive.
Learn more about experiencing God's grace and love in your life at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Every time it rains from heaven.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is a great way to do it. Let's do our intro for Marty. We haven't done our intro for Marty in a couple weeks, and I want to make sure he gets the full acknowledgement as he is who he is, and most people know, and fear and tremble when he walks around. Here we go. Ready? From the dawn of time, wisdom has come forth from a select few. Right now in our time, during our show, we have the privilege to have such a one with wondrous insights and sage advice with knowledge that will make you brighter. Ladies and gents, it's Marty Schneider.
Hey, David.
How you doing, Marty?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that. And, you know, I wish I could play that like for my wife every night before dinner.
Yeah, I don't think that would work good for you, but I appreciate the You know what she'd say? Let me tell you what's wrong with that. Let's start with sentence one.
That's right. You know what she'd say? She'd say, hey, go clean the dishes, dude, okay?
Yeah, exactly right. How are you, Marty? How are things going? I mean, are you flying around because things are flying around? Is that what's going on with you?
No, I had a conference. I was out of town last week. I was speaking at a conference for other financial advisors, and I do that quarterly. And so that's what was going on last week. It was busy, and of course, kind of coming off the holidays, and then we ran right into MLK Day, and it kind of feels like it's been a bit of a blur since Christmas, really. But finally, think we're kind of settling back in, and you know, my attention is focused now on moving forward here as the president-elect takes his new position. I believe it's Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. He's going to be doing that Friday. So I have some questions about that because is there anything we should anticipate that will come out of either the current soon-to-be-removed administration or the new administration in the next few days that could have any impact, or is everybody just holding their breath and trying to get through the inauguration?
That's my sense, David, is kind of, you know, things are on hold and everybody's having their little cat fights about who's showing up at the inauguration and who isn't, and there's a lot of that kind of chirping going on. But I do think in terms of, you know, big financial issues and movements, everybody's kind of on hold, on pause. This also happens to be a week where earnings are coming, being reported, and so everybody's kind of watching the earnings reports. And so, you know, and really I think trying to gain a sense of what really is going to happen in the first, you know, 100 days or so of the Trump administration, and what's the impact going to be on the Affordable, you know, Care Act, the Obamacare, and what's he going to propose with taxes, and all of those things that have been campaign promises. Now we're going to see what's going to get done, and where the fights are going to be, and where the battles are going to rage. So I do think that's really more of what's going on right now, is everybody's kind of in the calm before the storm here.
All right, let me ask you a question, though. On Friday, there you have the inauguration, and you got some things taking place Thursday. Neither Thursday nor Friday, though, are off days on trading, right? There's nothing closed, is there?
No, there isn't. We were closed. The markets were closed yesterday for MLK Day, but they're open the rest of the week. And, you know, today was one of those days where, you know, the market was down a little bit. You know, there was some concern. Trump made some comments about the dollar, and that kind of rattled a few chains on Wall Street, suggesting that the dollar was actually too strong, and that was hurting us in some of our, you know, international trade. So that spooked some people out. But it was a fairly moderate and tepid response to that today. So I am curious to see what happens tomorrow morning. You know, this Dow Jones average, David, it closed today at 19,827 or so. And it's never closed over that 20,000 mark that, you know, we've flirted with it a few times. We've actually gotten there, you know, intraday, but we've never closed on the Dow at that level. So not that it's particularly significant, it's just a number, but I did think that we were going to get there before the inauguration took place, and now I'm kind of questioning if that's going to happen.
All right, let me ask you this question. This is kind of, you'll have to do this in a quicker format, because this is a question of somebody who's a dummy that needs to have somebody who understands it explain it. What does that mean, the Dow's at 20,000 versus the Dow's at 10,000? What does that mean?
Yeah. So what they do is, David, they add up the value of the stocks that comprise that particular index. Like the S&P 500 is comprised of 500 stocks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is comprised of 30 stocks. The NASDAQ is comprised of 100 stocks. So these indexes give us a sense of where the average stock price is. So to answer specifically your question, you know, when the Dow was at 10,000, now we're knocking on the door of 20,000. That means that stocks have doubled, the Dow stocks have doubled over that period of time from 10 to 20,000, the value of the stocks themselves. So it gives us a sense of the direction of the market. Now, the more relevant question, honestly, David, is how long did it take to go from 10,000 to 20,000? Because, you know, a normal kind of market appreciation would take these indexes higher over time. But if it took 30 years to get from 10,000 to 20,000, that's not particularly great performance. If it took 10 years to get from 10,000 to 20,000, then that's better market performance. So time becomes the issue as you look at the performance of these indexes.
Okay, so time is one of the variables that we take into account. So how long ago were we at 10 and now we're flirting at 20? So what's the time frame?
Yeah, it's been about 10 years. So that's about, you know, that's about a 7% average annual increase in the market. And that's really, since the market crunched back in 2008 when all the wheels fell off of everything, you know, it's bounced back and approximately doubled over that period of time. So that's about a 7 to 7.2% annual return on those indexes. So if you just made an investment, David, and you can do this, you can go buy an investment in the index itself. So you're not buying an individual stock, you're buying the Dow index or you're buying the S&P index, and you perform as the index performs while you're invested in that particular holding. So there are mutual funds that do that, that just invest in the index itself. So you're not dealing with individual stocks, but you're dealing with 30 or 50 or 100 different stocks. So that's called passive investing, by the way, David. There's a lot of there's a school of thought that says, you know, most investors aren't going to outperform the market, so just invest in the index, and you live it or die based on the performance of the indexes, rather than you attempting to pick individual securities, individual stocks.
Gotcha. All right. So then, why? This is the part I don't get, and I'm not trying to drive it home, but I'm trying to understand it. Why did then people think, okay, Donald Trump's going to get into the office, so the stock is going to drop? And then there were other people going, oh, no, the stock is going to go through the roof. And it's like, well, did either one of those happen? And why were they thinking that would happen? Just because it's a new person in charge?
Yeah, and I think a new approach, you know, very much sort of like when Reagan became president, where people said, all right, all of a sudden we've got a different philosophy. We've got somebody that's for smaller government and less entitlement and cutting taxes, which will drive economic growth and drive the economy, and people will spend more when there's more left in their paychecks because they're not, you know, withholding as much tax, and retaining jobs here because our corporate taxes are going to, you know, theoretically get reduced so that more it becomes more appealing for businesses to stay here rather than, you know, move their plants to other countries. So all of that was the anticipation, David, of the fact that we're going to have a kind of a pro-business and economic growth president. But that's all on the come, if you will. I mean, that's the hope. Whether or not those policies get implemented and how they get implemented and is going to be the, you know, the test that we'll really see over the next 3 or 4 months.
That's why people need to plan, though, isn't it, Marty? Because you don't have any you don't really have any knowledge as to how it's going to go this way. Nope, it's not going to go this way. But that doesn't mean you can't prepare yourself.
That's so true, David, and in fact, arguably, it's the reason you have to prepare yourself. And the reason I say that is, you know, when it comes to issues like market, stock market and performance and investment performance, nobody can tell you, you know, for sure what's going to happen over the next year or the next 5 years or the next 10 years. But what we do know historically is that if you have a long enough time horizon, if you're patient and you're not looking to make, you know, a killing in the next, you know, year or two, time tends to mitigate the risk. And given enough time, if you have the time in front of you in the horizon to invest in growth assets, typically, regardless of the fluctuations along the way, they tend to perform well if you have at least a 7, 8, 10-year time horizon in front of you. So the critical variable here is really allocating assets based on when you're going to need those assets. And if you're going to need something next year, then, you know, if it's a wedding fund for your child's wedding that's next October, that does not belong in the stock market because we can't tell you what's going to happen over the next 6 or 8 months. So time really becomes such a critical dependent variable in how you allocate resources.
All right, folks, listen. Now, Marty has this thing at his office. You don't know about this. It's a super-duper futuristic little ark. And if you try and walk underneath this arc, it grabs your checkbook and throws it behind you. So every time you grab it and try and walk back, it just keeps throwing it behind you. Because you can't bring a checkbook into Tata Marty.
That's right.
You have to just come in there and talk to him to make sure it's the right fit. He talks with everybody. He's given great advice to my wife and I. Just over our interviews, we've utilized a ton of the advice. And all I'm going to say to you is if you're at the point where you're thinking, I really think I need to talk to somebody, you got to get a hold of Marty. You call him at 800-727-PLAN. That's 800-727-7526. Or you can go to theretirementprofessor.com or professorsocialsecurity.com. You will enjoy the fellowship. You will learn something. And maybe you'll get your checkbook back. We'll see. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, David, it's always a pleasure. God bless you. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Only Jesus can give us new life.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Po Fong Chia. The words of Robbie's father cut deep. You're a complete failure. You're an embarrassment to the family. Compared to his talented siblings, Robbie was viewed as a disgrace. He tried excelling in sports, and he did, but he still felt like a loser. He wondered, what is going to become of me? Am I a complete failure? Can I get out of life some way, painlessly? These thoughts haunted him, but he talked to no one. That simply wasn't done in his culture. He had been taught to keep your private heartache private, keep your collapsing world propped up. So Robbie struggled alone. Then, while he was recovering in the hospital after a failed suicide attempt, a visitor brought him a Bible, open to John 14. His mother read these words of Jesus to Robbie, "Because I live, you also will live." This may be my only hope, he thought, a new way of living. Life is defined by the author of life. So he prayed, "Jesus, if you are the one who gives life as it's meant to be, I want it." Life can present despairing moments, but like Ravi, we can find hope in Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. God longs to give us a rich and satisfying life. Reach for God's Word any time of the day with the new Our Daily Bread mobile app, or receive the print version at home for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I would say quite the variety show today. Tugboat Todd even said it's kind of like a magazine. like different elements in it, right? We didn't really
Reader's Digest.
Yeah, we didn't do a crossword, but I mean everything else. Plus, we even had ads in there, just like a magazine. Wait, it's not the Department of Free, although that does remind me of that joke. Is this the Department of Argument? No, it isn't. Anyway, we're going to get into our Facebook post. I want to encourage you, if you want to, you're welcome to send an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Do our best to get to every one of them and get back to people. I did find out today, I think some people may be surprised. Most people are going to go, no way. But it does look like John MacArthur is going to be coming on the show for an interview. So we're coordinating that. I got a final word today, and we're setting that up. That should be a lot of fun, shouldn't it? It should be a lot of fun. I think it'll be great. He's got a book that's coming out. Let's see. That. Well, I guess that's all done. So then let's get into our Facebook post music, and then our Facebook post, please.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog. Underdog.
Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I picked that one out personally because I just missed hearing it. I used to watch that when I lived in Southfield, Michigan, on Catalina, and I went to Adler Elementary. And then during the first year of kindergarten, you only went to school for so many hours, and then I would come back, and my mom would make me a tuna fish sandwich, toasted, right? Toasted. Miracle Whip, by the way. And then I'd watch Kimba and Underdog.
People are like going, what is wrong with you?
Nothing. It's what you did. TV, it's what you did as a kid. And then you went and played. All right, let's get into our Facebook post for those that are now thoroughly bored. Let's get into it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Couple things I want to say first before I get into the breakdown. One, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that means that you really believe it. So when some people will get up and say, yes, I believe, yes, I say this, yes, there has to be a sincerity attached to that belief. You might not understand everything that's involved with the kingdom of God. You might not understand all the aspects of resurrection. You might not understand all the aspects of the cross. But if you have a genuine faith, a real faith, which God really is the one who knows, and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. Stop trying to make something it isn't. That's it. You're done. That's the justification. Now he's working on the sanctification, and you'll get to the glorification later. But I want to point something out that's worth noting. Do you notice that you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart? Now, those are two things, right? It's not rockets here, right? You confess with your mouth, you believe with your heart. So what is it that's working together that gets you to this point where you're saved? Well, it's confessing with your mouth and it's believing in with your heart. So your mouth is working with your heart, and there's a connection. And they work together for us to receive salvation. That's fine. Got it. In other words, there's got to be a genuine syncopation. There's got to be a genuineness between the words of your mouth and the belief of your heart. It's got to be real. And there's some truthfulness that we need to be aware of in regards to other things working that way. But I want to go on the negative just for a split second. And that is, sometimes when we're complaining with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God is doing us wrong, you know, it's not an issue whether we're saved or not, but we're sinning. And that's a reality. Sometimes when you pray a prayer, get this one, and you say it with your mouth, but you don't believe it with your heart, are you really expecting that prayer to come to pass? Because there's no operation there. There has to be a better sync between the mouth and the heart. If it's true for salvation, it would seem to be true for when we pray. When you pray, you speak it with your mouth, you got to believe it in your heart. You got to believe God responds and answers prayers. If he didn't answer prayers, you would never have gotten saved. so you know he answers prayers. Let's get our mouth and our heart in sync, and let's make sure that our heart and our mouth are saying, our heart is believing the right things and our mouth is saying the right things. I think there's benefit to our lives if we can sync those up. Okay. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. We're going to take a short 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
On KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ. The David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.